One of the things you're known for is your connection to the music of George Gershwin. How did that connection come about, and what do you enjoy so much about Gershwin's music?
Gershwin came into my life when I was about 7 years old. I had been playing piano already, about 3 years, and I saw an advertisement on television for a late night movie called Rhapsody in Blue, which is a Warner Brothers pick from 1945, in which Robert Alda, Alan Alda's daddy, plays the role of George Gershwin. And at the time, I didn't realize that the story was all made up by Hollywood, but the musical selections and the performers were all people that knew Gershwin, like Oscar Levant, the pianist, Al Jolson, the singer who premiered Swanee, and the original cast members of Porgy and Bess. So those numbers that they performed really hit me like a lightning bolt, so much so that by the weekend, which was our time to go to the library in Bay City, Michigan, my hometown, and get our books for the week, I asked the librarian for any books on Gershwin. And she came back with one called The Gershwin Years, and she said it was written by Lawrence Stewart and Edward Jablonski. And did you know that Ed Jablonski is from Bay City, Michigan? Well, that just floored me to think somebody wrote a book on Gershwin and he's from my hometown. Fast forward 8 years later, when I'm 15 years old and making my first trip to Manhattan, I pull out the Manhattan phone book, which was probably about as big as I was at the time, looked up Jablonski E, and there was a couple columns worth of them, and I took my finger and placed it on one and made a cold call. And would you believe I actually got the Ed Jablonski, the writer from Bay City,
Michigan. Oh, my goodness.
And I said to him over the phone, my name is Kevin Cole. I'm from Bay City, Michigan. I play the piano, and I love Gershwin. And after a few chuckles from his end of the line, he and his wife invited me over the next night for supper. And after supper, I noticed he had a little upright piano in his apartment on West 75th in Amsterdam. And he said, would you like to play some Gershwin for me? And I said, boy, would I. And I launched into a Gershwin medley of my own creation, as well as the first two preludes that Gershwin wrote for piano. And when I finished, Jablonski said something that changed my life. He said, has anyone ever told you when you play Gershwin, you sound like Gershwin? And I said, no. Then he said, well, have you ever heard Gershwin play? And, of course, I'm thinking to myself, well, how old does he think I am, you know? So then he proceeded to bring out reel-to-reel tape recordings he had of radio broadcasts from the early 1930s of Gershwin not only playing the piano, but talking, because he had a program called Music by Gershwin. So after hearing this, Ed turned to me and said, don't you think you sound like that? And Ed pointed out that what made my playing stand out from all the other people who play Gershwin was that there was a sense of humor. And someone once said of Gershwin's playing, probably at one of these late night parties in Manhattan in a penthouse, said he was the only guy I ever heard who could make a piano laugh. And so I think part of my connection with him is that for some reason, when I read the roadmap of his music, I can find that laughter, but also there's just a strong connection and a vitality and an electricity to his music. And he was able to like capture it in such a way that it still sounds fresh all these years later.
Kevin, tell us a little bit more about these other two works, The Variations and The Second Rhapsody.
Well, in order of the way they were written, the Second Rhapsody, or as it was known before it got that moniker, Second Rhapsody, it was called the New York Rhapsody. It's the most challenging, I find, of the four works written for piano and orchestra, because it's a Gershwin of the 30s, and his writing got a little thicker, more textures, more layers to the music. And more sophisticated writing than the Gershwin of the 20s, which was the Rhapsody in Blue and the Concerto in F. The Variations, on the other hand, came about as a happy surprise to his brother Ira. In 1934, George decided to take a tour across America, covering 28 cities in 30 days. George wanted to write a piece to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the Rhapsody's premiere, so he decided to take his most popular piece, I Got Rhythm, and make a set of variations. What's interesting about the variations is that George puts them through the meat grinder, so to speak, and that he comes up with Chinese variations, Broadway variations, a waltz, kind of a slow, steamy jazz version, anything he can do to put I Got Rhythm on the on its head. And he dedicated it to his brother, Ira, which I thought was awfully sweet. So your audience is going to have a real Gershwin feast, and that you'll hear the Rhapsody in Blue, which is Gershwin of the 20s, but then you'll hear where Gershwin was going in the 30s, and it gives you a glimmer of what came about when Porgy and Bess, which is really his most masterful orchestration in 1935, he needed to do the second Rhapsody and the variations for I Got Rhythm to kind of exercise this new brain he was using on how to treat the orchestra. And who knows, had he lived beyond 1937, dying at the age of 38, what else he could have done to expand the tonal beauty that he comes up with in his orchestrations.